Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost conservative populist radio program. April is Confederate Heritage and History Month, and here at the Political Cesspool, we're doing our part to bring you the best guests and interviews to raise the public's awareness. Stand by now for another great installment of the Political Cesspool, and here's your host, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art Griff, and yes, indeed, welcome back to the second of 3 hours of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. We hope you enjoyed that burst of national news, which you can catch at the top of every hour here, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. James Edwards in studio with you tonight, AM 1380 WLRM in Memphis is our flagship station. I am, of course, as you know by now, and listening to the first hour, I am joined by Bill Rowland, who is co-hosting with me this week, as he does so often. We covered a lot of ground during the first hour, still much ground still to be covered. During the third hour, of course, we're going to resume our tribute to the great Confederacy. And before we do that, though, we're going to spend the next hour, I guess the hour that received top billing this week, if you go by our email list. And by the way, if you're not on our email list, you should be, and you can be, if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet headquarters, and sign yourself up. If you are on the email list, though, you will have known that the main theme of today's program is, in fact, the Tea Party movement. And for the next hour, Bill and I, because we think it is such a big uprising, a populist rebellion, if you will, something that started purely from the grassroots, it's a rarity. It's something that doesn't come along that often when people of our inclinations get up, rise up, and take action to do something positive. It doesn't happen very often, and when it does, it almost never happens in the size and magnitude that the Tea Parties have manifested themselves to become. So with that being said, we're going to really analyze this thing almost to the point of disgust, because we do, in fact, feel that it is that important. Anyway, rambling aside, Bill, and just in case folks, for whatever reason, don't know what the Tea Parties are or were all about, why don't we take it from the beginning and give them a brief synopsis or overview?
Well, the Tea Parties were, first of all, they're not. None of these Tea Parties were affiliated with any particular creed or political party or political ideology. These were grassroots organizations and grassroots events. At least that's how these things started, to protest the taxes on our lives, the income tax, and basically the forthcoming attempts by the government to bankrupt the country with taxes. And, of course, I think what triggered the Tea Party idea was the enormous bailouts that were given to major corporations, insurance companies, and banks, that the government simply handed over what will probably amount to over $3 trillion to banks and other financial institutions, as well as insurance companies and some money, of course, to the automobile manufacturers. And it was this huge giveaway, this huge bailout, that created so much resentment among the American people, particularly the bailouts to financial institutions, which had made such short-sighted and irresponsible loans to unqualified buyers of homes, people who were taking out mortgages really weren't qualified to have those mortgages. And so these Tea Parties began to spring up. Again, much of the success is owed to the internet, to email and text messaging. But they were all locally organized events. And what I think was unexpected was the enormous success, the enormous response, and the enormous, absolutely vast turnout for these little local, some of them small, some of them very large, Tea Parties around the country. Now, of course, what stands out like an elephant in a broom closet about these Tea Parties is the absolute blackout by the media of these events around the country. And virtually, I have a website here in front of me, and our listeners can look at this. It's Tax Day Tea Party. That's one word, taxdayteaparty.com. And these events are posted here. And the numbers, I think if we were to take these numbers and add them up and average them, it would we could get an estimate of the crowd. But around the country, there were between 700 and 800 of these tea parties. Some estimate as many as 1,000, 1,200, but let's stick to the 700 or 800 number. Many of them drew crowds of over 4, 5, 6,000. San Antonio, Texas, the crowd was reported to be 16,000 people in attendance. And then, of course, some were 50, 60 people, several hundred people in the smaller towns. But from these numbers multiplied by the number of events, if you averaged at 1,000 people an event, I think we're looking at almost a million or perhaps more than a million people who turned out to protest what the government is doing to us and the fleecing that the American citizen is suffering at the hands of the federal government and the two administrations who are now running, you know, the Obama administration and the Bush administration previously, which brought us to this ruin.
The duopoly.
So, you know, this is what we're faced with. And so these people organized these events around the country, and the media virtually ignored all of them. I like to say that it was like someone walking through a rough neighborhood and not wanting to look on either side for fear that they might be noticed. Well, it was an absolutely amazing thing to ignore in this country.
Well, Bill, let's just stop right there. You're highlighting a lot of the positives, and to be sure, there are many positives to be highlighted in this scenario. But let's stop with what you're hitting on right now, because it's an important point. Let's go back to Gina, Louisiana. Who could forget that? You have, what, you know, a couple of hundred angry black folks coming there, marching for something that was god-awfully, you know, silly, all right? What they were marching for was completely distorted. Completely apocryphal, you pick the word, but nevertheless, they were down there, and this got incessant. I mean saturation, the textbook dictionary definition of saturation. That's the kind of coverage the Gina, Louisiana so-called protest got. Now, compare that to a protest so massive, and it's not just happening in one small obscure city. This is happening in big cities, small communities across the country. You have over at least, let's just be conservative and say several hundred thousand of people coming up all across the country to protest a similar issue, this being the oppressive taxing situation that we find ourselves under, the oppressive tax structure that we all have to live with, and the bailouts that are awarded to everyone but those who pay into the system. So you get these people, and very, very little coverage. I've been watching this. I want to be fair. I mean, I've seen some tidbits of it on CNN, but it's very passing in nature and always, always very derogatory. You know, it's as if this protest is a joke. These people are foolish. What are they doing? It's very the reporters that I've seen addressing this issue have been very contemptible. And again, compare and contrast that to a protest that you know, Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson would have coordinated, and you see very, very easily the double standard that you're talking about.
James, the attitude of the press clearly indicates fear. The press is afraid of what's going on in this country because, in the lifetime of most reporters, the media and the press has never witnessed white people getting out and protesting for their rights and protesting against abuse by government. Unfortunately, white people only want to seem to take to the streets when money is involved, rather than when it's something more important, like the murder of two young white people in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, compare the murders of the two people in Knoxville with the Gina, Louisiana event, which brought, you know, I don't know how many blacks were down there for this, were bussed in from all over the country. But not only was it thoroughly covered, and not only was there a sense of urgency and a sense of real, you know, passion about this, the event was analyzed over and over on various news programs. It was absolutely given every form of a dialogue possible on talk shows and news media programs. And the coverage of it went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, even though, as you say, and as we know, it was an entirely contrived event, almost as if black militants were looking, desperately trying to find some event, some, something to get angry about. And so they picked Jenna, Louisiana, which, as everyone who knows anything about the case knows, was a non-event. It was really a concocted, contrived event. This
Bill,
was not concocted.
Hold that thought,
contrived.
Bill. Hold that thought. I hear music. We'll be back. Pick it up right there in just a moment.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are continuing our dissection of the Tea Party phenomenon. And it was, again, a very positive, continues to be, a very populist grassroots uprising with a lot of upswing, a lot of, you know, listen, it's such a rarity. I say again, such a rarity that our people, and when I say our people, let's be clear what we're talking about, paleoconservative, tax-paying, hardworking European Americans, to rally together and take action, to take action to the streets. So often we find ourselves pretty much confined into the comfort of our own homes. And maybe in our living room we'll talk about some issues, but let's face it, we got to work. You know, we got to work for a living. We can't afford to you know, wander around all day and be professional protesters like some of our opposition. But nevertheless, here we are, and as Bill is about to give you some facts to back this up, this was something again that has been going on everywhere, from big cities to small farming communities, villages, even everywhere. You probably had upwards of a million, probably 99% of these attendants, probably 99% of that million being European-American in origin, coming up to protest these taxing situations. And I'll tell you this, you know, we were talking about the Jenna, Louisiana situation. I guarantee you that what has happened over the course of the last couple of months since these tea parties have been in session, so to speak, that the number of attendants who have come together to rally against this the system that we're living under would absolutely squash 1,000 to 1. Let's just compare it to the holy grail of all protests that we're taught about. I guarantee you the numbers in attendance at these rallies would squash 1,000 to 1 the people who showed up during the civil rights era to protest collectively. And yet still, you're getting very limited media coverage. And I do think that these tea parties in some ways were mismanaged. We're going to focus a little bit more about that in a forthcoming segment. But before we do, there's still a lot of positives to be gleaned from this whole thing, and Bill's going to pick it up right there. Bill?
James, there were a lot of positives, and I don't think those numbers are exaggerated, and here's why. I'm looking at, again, at this webpage that has some of the statistics on the rally and on the various tea parties around the country. And even in small towns, Richmond Hill, Georgia, 1,400 people estimated. San Antonio, as we mentioned before, 16,000. The numbers virtually, even in little bitty towns, Providence, Rhode Island, 2,000 or more. Many small towns I've never heard of had big numbers of people. Fort Collins, Colorado, 2,000. And it just goes on and on like that. And of course, in some of the bigger cities, the crowds were even much larger than that. I know that when I went to the rally here in Memphis, fortunately, is not very far from where I lived. I actually could walk to it. The crowd was very large when I got there at 5 o'clock. It was scheduled between 5 and 7, and the crowd was already quite large. When I got there, went with my wife. We circled the crowd. I was taking pictures. And another thing on this website, you can actually see the crowds when you go to taxdayteaparty.com. You can see how big the crowds were. You
so it's
can
not like
see,
a lot of these leftist movements where they claim 10,000 people and about, 37 showed up or something like that.
Exactly. And so you can actually actually see how big the crowds actually were on location. So, I mean, there's, you know, anybody who would think that the media could downplay this with these huge numbers right under their nose, you have to know right away that it was a conspiracy to downplay and to discredit what was going on. So that says a lot about our media. But when I got there, of course, there was a huge crowd. Everybody very well behaved. No, not even anybody jaywalking. The crowd was, I would say, when I got there, it was between 1,500 to 2,000. I think probably through the whole day there were as many as 3,000 or 4,000 coming and going. Virtually the entire crowd, with a handful of exceptions that I could actually count on one hand, were white middle-class people.
Yeah,
the
course.
Most dispossessed and ignored demographic in this country. These were the people standing out on the streets with their signs protesting against what the government is doing to their lives. And so, you know, all white. And if you go to these pictures on this website, the crowds are all white. This is a white thing. Now, again, in the next hour, we'll get into more of this. But why should that be a negative? Why should it be portrayed in a negative fashion by the media that these people get out and stand up for their rights and stand up against exploitation by the government? Because they're white. And this is what I say about the media being afraid. As long as they have got a minority to represent the militant faction in this country, they can validate their left-wing ideology. They can validate their beliefs. But when the vast majority of white people stand up and protest something, they want that to go away because it's against liberalism, it's against their leftist mentality, and it's against the totalitarian plans they have for this country.
Well, you know, when Pat Buchanan was on the show one time, Bill, I asked him, you know, what's going to happen to the Republican Party if they don't change some of their pandering to everyone except the people who vote for them? And he said they're going to become a retirement home. It would seem to me that if I was one of these political whores in Washington, and they all are, Republican and Democrat alike, that if I see, you know, upwards of a million white guys and some women protesting, you know, the tax situation and the bailouts, that, you know, man, it might be prudent for my party to serve as a voice for these people. But, you know, I guarantee you, if anything, the political parties have distanced themselves from all of the people attending the Tea Parties, and this being, you know, as you said, several hundred thousand, if not upwards of a million Americans. I guarantee you all of them vote. And who's stepping up to be their spokesman? Nobody. And why? Well, you just said it. Because they're not a minority. You know, the people
exactly.
who founded this country, the
exactly.
founding stock, the descendants of the founding stock of this country are not entitled to representation anymore.
The minorities hold all the stock in this country, and so the politicians pander to them because they have the powerful militant voices speaking on the behalf of blacks, homosexuals, Hispanics, women. These are the people who are going to Washington and shaking their fist in the face of the system, in the face of the establishment. And so they get what they want. Well now, we shake the biggest fist in I don't know how long, how many years it's been that this many people have come out to protest, and we don't exist. We're non-humans. We're non-people.
Well,
we don't exist.
Well, and this is going to come up much more right after this next break, and I know our next break is hastily approaching. We're going to be talking about that during the next half hour. This was outstanding. You know, I mentioned Buchanan a second ago. Probably in my life, and I've seen a lot, and I'm only 28, but I've been involved in politics and obviously living my life on the front lines as a host of this program, as you've done, Bill, for so long. I haven't been around as long as a lot, but I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot more than most everyone. And all of my activities, I've had the opportunity to speak in front of crowds of, you know, maybe 300 or 400 people. Throughout the last 12 years, or 10, 12 years of my political activism, the biggest crowd I've ever seen in one room was probably the 2,000 people or so that came to the Reform Party nominating convention when they selected Buchanan to be the presidential candidate back in 2000. And that was 2,000 people, and I've never experienced anything like it, a crowd that big. You had crowds that dwarfed that in this movement, and this is something, it is just, I say again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, it is so rare. At least in this day and age, it didn't used to be rare, but in the recent era, it is rare that our people rally together and fight for something that is in their best interest, to fight for themselves, to stand up for their rights. And people are doing it all over the country. We've got to find a better way. take advantage of this for ourselves. I don't think, as great as everything was that has happened in these Tea Parties, I just don't know how effective they're going to be in the long run. And we're going to talk about that when the political cesspool comes back after the break, and why we have still, as great as it was, some reservations about everything that has happened over the course of the last couple of weeks. So stay tuned, and we'll pick it up with that when we return.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. Continuing on with our coverage on the Tea Party movements and the Tea Party rallies across the country, I want to say one more final word about the positives that have come from this whole phenomenon. That being, they were completely lawfully conducted. And I know, Bill, you said that you witnessed, after having attended the rally here in Memphis a couple of days ago, there was not even one police car there, not even, you know, you got a group of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in a Memphis park, and not one police car there, which is very strange for Memphis, let me tell you. And I've received emails about that from folks all across the country. We sent out an email today, as I've already made mention to, that advertised the fact that we would be addressing this issue on the program tonight, and we got some feedback from folks who are in our mailing list who have attended these things, one of which came from a listener in California who attended one of these in a beach community. She said there was over 3,000 people there, and that was reported in a small local paper there. 3,000 people there, and not only were there no police presence to make sure nothing got out of hand, there wasn't even any litter left after everyone left, and that is, you know, unheard of. It doesn't happen at a sports venue, that's for sure.
Well, James, consider the crowds here, and consider the fact that, I can say for sure that in Memphis, there was not one police car, not one policeman, not even policemen directing traffic, and the crowd was extremely well behaved, and there was no litter, no trash. It was just absolutely amazing how well conducted people and well behaved people were. But I'm looking at these photographs on this website, and I don't see a policeman in any of the photographs. Now, we would think this is a very positive thing. Our first impulse is to say, well, that's who we are. We're well-behaved people. But on the other hand, these are the same. Many of these people are the same people the government considers as potential terrorists. These are the people carrying the Gadsden "Don't Tread on Me" flags, you know, the yellow "Don't Tread on Me" flags. These are the people who have the Ron Paul bumper stickers. These are the people that our government regards, at least to some degree, as potential terrorists. And yet not one policeman shows up to watch these dangerous people in action?
Yeah, and Bill, we're not talking about, you know, some discredited fundraising hustle like the Southern Poverty Law Center calling us terrorists or potential terrorists. This is the United States Department of Homeland Security saying that people who are overly concerned with abortion or having the gun control laws enacted, these are the people that law enforcement should be profiling and targeting as potential, you know, domestic terrorists. And of course, much has been made about the MEAC report in Missouri. These are official governmental bodies saying that the type of people that would attend the Tea Party are the type of people we need to be concerned about for terrorism. Yet still, no litter, no police, no police supervision. And compare and contrast that to the Al Sharpton rally, which we saw here in Memphis back in 2005.
James, the fact is that it's almost an insult, because what the government sees are huge crowds of utterly harmless people. People not to be taken seriously as a threat to the government, as a threat to the status quo. So in a sense, it's almost disrespectful for them, for the government, the local government, the national government, no one to send any sort of security to these events. Let's say, let's look at it from the opposite point. Why didn't they send security to protect us from potential attack by Obama supporters? Well, we all know from experience that the left is not going to show up and counter-protest thousands of angry white people. They'll show up and counter-protest a handful of, you know, people in black T-shirts or hoods, but they're not going to show up and counter-protest against thousands of angry white people because they're little cowards. But these are the same little cowards who have apparently thoroughly intimidated our government and almost every institution in this country. And I could talk about, for instance, a disgraceful display of cowardice at the University of North Carolina.
Oh, don't get started with the Tom Tancredo event. Bill, I'll break it down what you're talking about. A handful, and I mean a handful of Marxist thugs, completely was able to not only disrupt but force to be canceled an appearance by United States Congressman Tom Tancredo. You know, and that's fine. And that's fine. I tell you, they are encouraged to do it. They are encouraged to do it, and they know. We had an incident here in Memphis last November where a group of law-abiding conservative citizens were going to rent a hotel to have a conference. They threatened a local group here called the Mid-South Peace and Justice Center, threatened to burn down the hotel and murder the general manager unless he basically breached the contract and kicked those people out. It happened, and the media was absolutely, well, no, they weren't silent. They just said those were the good guys. Those were the good guys because we have to keep these white people out of our community, basically. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I'm not. I'm not. I was there. And we've got the newspaper articles to prove it. But that's what I'm talking about. And then
the Tea Parties are an expression of white awareness and white solidarity. And regardless of what the groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center say or the ADL, they are very much afraid that a movement like this will grow some claws and grow some teeth and really try to make some changes in this country. They are terrified that this will become a growing and solid movement, a real phalanx of white people against what's going on in this country.
Yeah, but
that's why they ignored it to a large degree, and that's why they're pretending not to take us seriously.
Well, here comes the negatives about it all, Bill, since you set me up so well. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and all of these other anti-Christ, anti-American organizations don't have anything to fear from situations and uprisings like the Tea Party thing because, I mean, why should they? Every white voter in America could be on board to overhaul the IRS or you name it, you know, protest the bailouts, write letters, march on Washington. It's not going to matter because, in my opinion, this rebellion of upwards of a million people that attended these Tea Party events was woefully misused by the organizers. Let me tell you, in a lot of these situations, the pinnacle, the zenith of this activism, you got all these people who are angry. They are fighting mad. They go to these events. They want to enact change, and I mean positive change, not this Obama nonsense change. They want to enact positive change, and the organizers, in an attempt to tap into this unbridled passion to get something done for the good of their family, you know, they have them drop tea bags into a bathtub or throw sand into the ocean. This is what they did out in California. They got, bags of sand and stamped the word tea on them and had them throw them into the ocean. They had them drop tea bags into a bathtub to, you know, obviously symbolize the Boston Tea Party, where these whole things got their name from the beginning. In Atlanta, if you came to the Tea Party rally there, you got to donate some canned food to the local food bank. And, you know, the people who are going to get that canned food aren't the people attending the tea parties. You know, you can rest assured of that. I mean, are we really going to enact change? Are we really striking fear into the movers and shakers of Washington if we get all these people to show up and the last thing they do before they go home and forget about it all is drop a tea bag into a bathtub? That's not going to get it done, Bill. You know, I don't care if every white person in the world went to these things. If all they're going to do is dump tea into a bathtub, it ain't going to make a bit of difference to the decision makers.
No, there has to be confrontation. concerning the issues in this country. And by that, I don't mean terrorist activity. I mean a day-to-day growing movement to get in the face of the government and demand these changes, and to, in a sense, make the life of the federal government very uncomfortable and make it difficult for them to do business. This is what has to happen. And, I mean, the results from the Tea Parties should be burned into the minds of everyone who participated. That is, people of goodwill came out to express themselves, to release their anger against the government, and they were completely ignored by the system. They were completely ignored by the media. They were pretty almost universally ignored by the lawmakers. They were ignored by the police. The old saying is they couldn't get arrested. I mean, that's the problem. Is that we are not taken seriously enough as white people and as white people with real concerns.
Well, right,
and again, of course, you know what's going to happen is that many of the organizers of these events are going to downplay the overwhelming racial identity of the crowd, and they're going to claim they're not racist, and that there needs to be outreach to African Americans and other minorities, and that if we can't succeed unless the movement becomes diverse. You can hear this already on their lips. You can hear it before it happens.
We're going to pick it up right there when the political cesspool returns. We're just getting started.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, picking up exactly where we left off, with our continuing coverage of the Tea Parties that have been held across the country. Yeah, Bill, again, you get all of these people together, and it seems as though what the leadership wanted to do was have them basically just do symbolic gestures that aren't going to amount to any real difference on the political battlefield. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Minutemen Project. You'll remember, I take a lot of pride in the fact that this show has been on the cutting edge of a lot of stuff. And back in April of 2005, the Minutemen Project originally kicked off on April 1st, 2005. And before Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox were household names, we had them on this program. Before they were on Hannity, before people even knew who the Minutemen were, we were covering it. That was a great movement, a great movement. You had a lot of people, concerned citizens, people like Joe McCutcheon, who's become a good friend of ours because of this movement, going down there to the border to stand watch and guard our border. And that was a movement that, in the end, was completely co-opted and basically rendered asunder. And I don't want to see that happen here, but I have no reason to believe that we're going to see any real, quote-unquote, change as a result of these incredible demonstrations and incredible turnouts, because I haven't seen anything within the leadership that leads me to believe that they're serious about getting something done. They seem far too concerned with offending the very people that they're going to have to battle if they're going to actually get this thing turned around, than serving the best interest of those who have attended the rallies. It's kind of like Ron Paul. I mean, Ron Paul up there in Minnesota had 20,000 people two blocks away from where John McCain was. I'm not saying Ron Paul should have sent his troops in there to disrupt the convention and obey it lawlessly, but they could have done a lot more. You get 20,000 people up in Minnesota driving up there to hear speeches about things we already know to be true, and that's basically where the Tea Parties have left it. As far as I'm concerned, if you've got an opportunity to have the ear of a million people, you've got them on the same page, you know they're willing to take action, you know they're willing to show up and do something, and we've got to make it worth their while. It is not going to do them any good in the long run to give a can of beans to the food bank in Atlanta. That's not going to get a better a better situation on our taxes. That's not going to get these bailouts overturned. It's not going to reduce the income tax or any of these other insane taxes that we pay. And with that being said, I think we could take a page from the liberal playbook when it comes to getting things done. I mean, they get things done. They take action. We don't want to be Marxist thugs. We don't want to do to our opposition what they do to us with regards to, you know, situations like the Tom Tancredo incident. But I'm just saying, long story short, you know, what the organizers of these Tea Parties have done is not going to get the job done. And again, trying to qualify this, because, listen, everybody who attended these Tea Parties have already been called racist and white-wing extremists by the media. And because of that, these Tea Parties are trying to get, you know, any kind of black they can find, any kind of minority they can drag out from under a bridge. They're trying to get them in here into speaking positions. People like Alan Keyes and this fella out of Florida that I know you know about, Bill. What was his name again? Marcus Lloyd. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Marcus Lloyd isn't even he's not a celebrity. He is not a figure of any standing. He did some song, and I don't know whether it was original or whether he used the melody from another song, but he made a song up about the Tea Parties, and he becomes an instant celebrity. And there's nothing extraordinary about him except that he's black, and a black married to a white woman. And so what is, instead of talking about the Tea Party and the issues at hand, everything at this rally became Marcus Lloyd. And it's all about Marcus Lloyd. The center of attention is Marcus Lloyd and what Marcus Lloyd thinks. It reminds me very much, and Marcus Lloyd even looks like him, was J.C. Watts back a number of years ago when he was the Republican congressman from Oklahoma. And all there were great expectations. And, you know, they were just almost parading in circles over Marcus, over J.C. Watts being elected.
They ended up voting for Obama.
Right. And he became, of course, he was a complete failure. He was a flop. He was a completely ineffective congressman, and he turned out to be the worst thing that ever happened to the Republicans in Oklahoma. Well, again, when one black gets to take the stage, or one non-white, let's say, one minority, the focus of attention goes completely away from the intention of the rally or the intention of the event to the minority speaker and to everyone saying, look, we've got a black who's part of us. He's with us. That means he represents thousands of other blacks who are just afraid to come. And people go into a delusional state about race.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Bill.
This is a white movement.
The leaders of these, the organizers of these Tea Parties, I have no doubt that the rank and file attendees of these rallies are great people who are concerned about making this country a better place, but the organizers seem more concerned about letting it be known to the media and the people who hate them that they aren't racist than actually making this a successful endeavor to reform taxes. And, you know, I can't think of a better way of neutralizing a growing movement of angry white taxpayers than associating it in the public mind with these lunatic frauds like this musician, this alleged musician out of Florida that we're talking about, and folks like Alan Keyes. I mean, let's face it, non-whites aren't upset about this stuff. They don't pay taxes. And it suits them just fine if whites have to deal with a huge tax burden so Obama can buy everyone else a bunch of goodies. That's what the government is for, in their opinion. Non-whites like big government. That's why they vote overwhelmingly Democratic every election. The Tea Party movement is a white movement, plain and simple. People need to quit apologizing for that and quit trying to qualify it for every minority and be more concerned about getting the job done. And again, getting the job done and dumping a bunch of damn tea into a bathtub.
Well, James, the fact is that these minorities, they will rise immediately into positions of influence or as spokesmen for the event, and they end up being distractions rather than beneficial to these causes. You know, the people who actually get in and do the grunt work never get any recognition. They never get any credit. Instantly, this a black or a Hispanic or some other minority will take a celebrity position, and it will, and the purpose of whatever is being done will be lost to the fact that, look, we have got a minority who agrees with us. You know, we can't lose now. But it's, in fact, that leads to ultimately to disaffection and disappointment. And the best thing to do is ignore these people, get the most qualified people to the front to make so that this movement will gain steam. And, it, you know, listen, blacks have plenty of chance to join in these movements, and they never do. All these movements do is make celebrities out of, you know, blacks who are otherwise, you know, just the exception to the rule. And there's no future in that.
Well, let me draw another quick parallel. All that being said, I hope that this thing continues to steamroll and snowball, and there will be some positive dividends for us to reap in the future. But I just don't really have hope that there will be. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of positives out there. We highlighted those at the top of this second hour, but there's still a lot of things left to be seen as to whether or not they're going to manifest themselves in a really tangible way. But I want to draw one more parallel. And we'll just leave the rest of this history to be written when it comes to how the Tea Parties are going to pan out and what, if any, fruit they'll bear. The Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America Bill, NACA, was founded by a Marxist man in Massachusetts named Bruce Marx. And basically what NACA is about getting loans for blacks who really shouldn't qualify. And when you sign up for NACA, and this is really indicative of every left-wing movement out there, you have to, they say, participate in 5 acts of membership each year. And it says in their official membership form, which is available online and anywhere else, it's not a secret document, that you will be asked to participate in demonstrations of civil disobedience. And basically what they did was they sent their thugs, their members, to these, you know, homes of bankers that weren't giving them loans, and had them pass out pamphlets that called this man a terrorist and this, that, and the other until they caved in and started giving loans to the members of NACA. Well, this is how the left operates, and this is just one of a million examples that we could bring to this program. 100% verifiable. I'm not saying we act like that, but we've got to be doing a whole lot more than we're doing now. And so, well, Bill, that's my word on the Tea Party.
I'm white, I'm a taxpayer, and have nothing to be ashamed of. And that those three key points are all anyone needs to say to the media or to themselves to justify protesting against exploitation by the government. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, no more needs to be said. You have nothing to be ashamed of because you're white. Therefore, there's no reason to go on a fishing expedition for minorities to represent your position.
That's the final word for this one. Stay tuned for some national news. We're going to go into Confederate History Month tribute in the third hour.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.